Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you've been listening, if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. We're having a great time. We're about to have a great time with our longtime member of our Brain Trust and our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking. She's the lady who helps us understand that there's another level above positive thinking. She calls it optimal thinking, and her book is called Optimal Thinking, and she's our good friend. Rosalind, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be on the show.
It's good to have you back, as always. And how are things in out on the left coast?
It stopped raining.
Congratulations. You guys, I was talking to a friend of mine in Oregon yesterday, and he said that they're almost in a drought condition. You guys have sucked all their rain away from
them.
Yes,
we took it all.
They said they want it back. Said they want it back, and I said, well, I think California would give it back to you if you wanted it.
With all our mudslides.
Oh, man, it's a mess. You guys have really had a rough time, haven't you?
Well, we make the most of it.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
we appreciate it.
You got to think optimally about this, don't you?
Yeah, you have to make the most of what you have. How can I make the most of it?
Rosalind, over the years that you've been a member of our Brain Trust, you've helped us understand the concept of optimal thinking. And I want you to give us the definition again, just to, for those who just got here, who maybe some of the new affiliates that we brought on that may not have heard you about you before. I want you to tell us about that, because that's going to set us up for what you call doing an optimal thinking audit. And you've not talked to us about audits before, and I'm looking forward to this. So go ahead and give us your definition of optimal thinking.
Well, optimal thinking is the language of our best self. It's the thinking we use when our best self takes charge and we're giving life our best shot. It's the thinking we use when we say, what's the best use of my time right now? What are the best actions I can take? What is the most important task? What's the most constructive thing to do here? So it's that peak form of thinking that rises above other levels of thinking. And when we optimize any situation with optimal thinking, we complete it. We're not left with should have, could have, mm-hmm. would have. We know we've chosen the best, and then we can put it to rest.
You know, in my life, when I think back on the way I go after a project, or the way I go after anything that I try to do, I try to make sure. Sometimes it annoys people because I get so focused on it. But my point is I want to make sure that if I fail, if I don't accomplish what I set out to accomplish, that it's not because I didn't try. It's not because I didn't look at it six ways from Sunday. It's not because I didn't give it a maximum opportunity to work.
Right.
Now, is that what optimal thinking is about?
Yeah. Optimal thinking is about making the most of the hand that you're dealt.
Well, the reason I say that is I have, you know, sometimes I'll say, well, what about this? If we looked over there, and they'll say, well, they won't do that. You'll never talk those people into that, or nobody's ever found that over there, or whatever it might be. And I always, and I'm the annoying one, you know. As I say, this is annoying to some people. I say, well, you know what? Maybe it's the first time. Why don't we try?
Right. So what you do is you open up all your options and then choose the best one.
Is optimal thinking refusing to take no? Is that part of it?
Well, optimal thinking is really about saying what's the best means of achieving the best ends.
Mm-hmm.
What is my highest and most important goal or outcome, and what are my options, and which one's the best one to achieve? What's most important? What's the best way to achieve what's most important? That's optimal thinking.
And sometimes optimal thinking has to say, okay, Jim, put the computer down and step away from the desk. You can't work on this project anymore. It's over.
Right. Sometimes it's not in your best interest to be doing something. For example, when you're blasting through with something and it's in your best interest, then you're using optimal thinking. But once you, let's say you're refusing to say no, but it's not in your best interest,
yeah,
then that's not optimal thinking. A way to monitor yourself is to say, is this best for you? Is it best for me? Is this best for our team? Is it best for our company?
Check your position. Know? Look around. Check your position. See how it's going.
Yeah, do a 360 degree.
Right. Yeah, I tell you, checking your position, I that seems to pop up for me. And a lot of things, it's obviously pops up when you're trying to be an optimal thinker. It pops up in a lot of different ways. And I found over the years, one of my mentors told me that years ago. I said, how do I know when to stop? How do I know when to go, keep going, and when to stop? He said, check your position.
Right.
And that was
right.
An important thing to say to me. Let's take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman. When we do, she's going to talk to us about how to do optimal thinking audits. Stay with us. Sky, what is love? We're back at 1710. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great time with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking, the author, the creator, the driving force, the energy, the brainchild, the parent, I guess I should say, of this brainchild that she calls Optimal Thinking, How to Be Your Best Self. This book is important, ladies and gentlemen. This concept of optimal thinking is important, and she's, Rosalind, you're getting recognized all over the world. I know your book's in dozens of languages around the world. Your book just hit number one across the board in Canada. It's got a bullet in Madagascar, but selling, it is still way up there on the list in the United States, and it's just been a tremendous success. And I want to congratulate you on having the not only the vision to create this, to see what the opportunity is, but the courage to take it to market and to pursue it like you have. That says a lot about you, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Let's talk about optimal thinking audits. Now, what in the world? Now, when people think of an audit, they either think of an IRS audit and it scares them, or they think of another kind of an audit and it sounds boring. But nothing that touches you is boring. So tell us about it.
Well, have you ever given instructions and the other person just doesn't get it? You explain the issue three times and
what's
it doesn't
wrong with
help
those people.
Or do you notice how certain people can set you off almost instantly?
Yeah, what's wrong with these people?
Or have you ever been around a person who's so positive that you feel overwhelmed by their presence?
Yeah, they're annoying, aren't they? They're annoying too, aren't they?
Right. Well, that's because all of these people are on different levels of thinking.
Uh-huh.
And in my research over 21 years in formulating optimal thinking, I discovered the various forms of thinking that I group as suboptimal thinking. And one of them, which we're all familiar with, is negative thinking. And negative thinkers are often look at what's wrong or on limitations or on destructive viewpoints. And although negative thinking is deemed as destructive, but it's also valuable because it cautions us against imminent danger and is necessary in any design process to point out the flaws so that they can be rectified.
Mm-hmm.
So we need negative thinkers in an organization, because otherwise, if we had every kind of supremely positive thinker, they may overlook the flaws in products and we could be in big trouble.
So constructive negative thinking can be beneficial, but when it becomes toxic, that's when it's not.
Right. When you're a negaholic and you dwell on negative thinking, it is destructive. But when you use it as an optimization signal so that you can use optimal thinking and then say, what's the best thing I can do about it, then it is extremely valuable. For example, on my website, we had some downloads of the Optimal Thinking 100-Day audio program. And we had downloaded one snippet, a free snippet, that was a trial version. And one of our customers emailed saying, what have you got this here for? We looked at it. It was an email full of criticism. That was the greatest thing that happened to us. If mm-hmm. people had said nothing, it still would be there.
Right.
We realized we'd uploaded the wrong snippet.
I don't think of that as being negative, though. That's constructive criticism.
Well, no. He wrote and said, you know, you are, what are you, you know, you're, a, you know, he did not write it in a constructive way.
I see.
But in any case.
You got the message.
So there are various levels of thinking. There's the negative thinker. There's the mediocre thinker. And mm-hmm. the mediocre thinker is the person that, when you ask them how they are, they say pretty good, not bad. And these people don't like to make waves in an organization.
I heard a competition the other day where somebody lost the competition, and the person who lost said, well, I guess somebody had to lose. It might as well be me. And I thought, that's a mediocre thinker.
Right. Media, exactly. They're people who like to be one of the crowd, and their main motive is to find acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So they're peacemakers, and they're easy people to have around because they don't, you know, make waves.
So what do we do now? But as we collect this information, and we got all these different kinds of thinkers,
yes.
What's this have to do with an audit?
Well, what we do is we go into a small business, and we discover who thinks how, what, which people have a dominant level of negative thinking, those who have a dominant level of mediocre thinking, those who are extraordinarily positive, you know, the Pollyannas who don't want to see anything negative,
right.
and who can't stand to be around negative people, and then you see the people who are predominantly optimal thinkers. And what we do is we ascertain the levels of thinking, and then we show you what motivates each people so that you don't rub each other the wrong way. For example, the negative thinker and the extraordinarily positive thinker, that is like the worst combination.
Mm-hmm.
The extraordinarily positive thinker can't stand to be around negative thinkers.
So you got to be careful how you associate these people. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. One, how you position them, and two, how to bring optimal thinking into the organization so that you show them how to relate to each other and bring out the best in each other.
How each one of them can get the best of the other one.
Exactly.
I should say. Rosalind, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. Here's the Atlanta Rhythm section to take us out.
Move to New York. New York's bad, but it ain't dope.
We're back. It's 7-2. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. We got some one more segment with our good friend, Dr. Rosalind Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking, the creator. It's not just a book, folks. It's a way of life, optimal thinking, and the leader of this community of optimal thinkers is our good friend Dr. Rosalind Glickman. And this community, by the way, folks, is worldwide. And if you'd like to join that community, all you got to do is go to her website, or you can buy her book. And Rosalind, give us the website again, please.
The website is optimalthinking.com.
I like the way you've kept your whole message simple, Rosalind. You know, your website, your book. I think you should change your name to Dr. Rosalind Optimal Thinking Glickman or something like that.
Oh, I gotcha. The thing is that we're all optimal thinkers. I just structured this peak form of thinking so that we can use it consistently. The name of the game is to use it as often as possible because we're all going to react. And that's the thing in small businesses. You know, you're one against the next person. You're a salesperson and you don't understand why someone dislikes you instantly. Well, the reason is because they're on a different level of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But what we can all do, regardless of our level of thinking, is start to use optimal thinking more often so that we can say, well, what's the best thing we can do about this?
Well, now, right. Let me ask you a question. Let's say that we've taken our audit. We're the business owner. We've read your book. We've listened to you on the show, and we've gone around and we've sort of surreptitiously conducted an audit of our people, and we've
determined. Well, we come in and do that audit.
All right, but let's say that before you get here, right. I'm trying to see what it would look like, and so I look at my people, and I say, okay, this person is not an optimal thinker. And they're actually what Rosaline called a negative thinker. What can I make that person? Can something be done to help that person become an optimal thinker? Or are they destined to be negative all their life?
No, they're not destined to be negative all their lives. That's my research over 21 years shows that just with training, they can use optimal thinking more and more frequently, so that when they notice themselves thinking negatively, they can put their best self in charge and say, well, what's the best solution to this?
But haven't you noticed?
Or what are my options for this? But they have a reason for being negative. You see, all of these people have core beliefs and reasons.
They actually think that they're okay. I mean, they actually think that the way they are, which you and I might think would not be good, which obviously, you know, they might say, who, you know, why do I have a right to, what right do I have to say that? But if they're negative and we think, you know, and it would be better for them if they were positive, they seem to be happy being negative. How do we overcome that?
Well, you know, optimal thinkers don't judge other forms of thinking. What we do is we accept they're in negative and we just say, well, what's the most constructive thing we can do about that? So let's say someone comes to me with a story of complaints. You know, I will listen as an optimal thinker, and I will say, I'm sorry that that's so, you know, difficult for you. I might even say, oh, that sounds terrible, so that I can get on their wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, well, what are your options for resolving that?
Mm-hmm.
And who's the best person you can resolve this with? And what's your best solution? So what I'll do is I'll embrace the negative thinking rather than judge it.
Right.
And then optimize it. And if someone comes to me that's a negative thinker, a mediocre thinker, and they just tell me something that's, you know, by the way, you know, nothing outstanding, because mediocre thinkers do not want to be outstanding. They want to be one of the crowd. That's their thing.
Right, no pressure.
They want to be average. They think of themselves as regular people. So when a mediocre thinker comes to me, I might say, well, that sounds good, because good or pretty good or okay is part of their language.
Mm-hmm.
And then as an optimal thinker, I'll say to them, well, what's the wisest action you can take here? Or what's most important in this situation?
Rosaline, one of the things that I've done in the past, I'd like to know your thoughts on this. I've said, don't bring me, if you want to bring me a problem, that's fine, but make sure that you bring me at least one solution when you bring me the problem.
Right. Well, that's, you're instilling optimal thinking in to the organization by saying, if you have a problem, I'd like to hear your best solution as well, and then together we'll figure out what's
exactly
best.
Exactly.
Right.
I think that's a great tool. Rosaline, we've got to wrap it up, unfortunately. Time always flies too fast when you're with us. Will you come back another day?
I sure will.
Rosaline Glickman, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Rosaline Glickman, the author of Optimal Thinking. Don't forget optimalthinking.com, and I hope you'll check that out soon. Rosaline, thank you. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.